This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Poll takers don't really know what to do with Christians. They don't really know how to handle Christians, because one of the questions they like to ask is something like this: how important is religion in your life? How important is religion in your life? I don't really know how to answer the question, because I know what they're looking for. Are spiritual things really important to you? And the answer to that is yes. I am a committed Christian. Love God with all my heart. Amen. And so, yes, spiritual things are important to me, but when they ask the question, how important is religion in your life? You know what? I have to answer, not important at all. Because I am not a religious person and don't want to be. Now, does that sound strange? I'm not a religious person. But wait a minute, you say. Now, wait a minute. You just said you're a Christian. How can you be a Christian and not be religious? Let me tell you the answer to that question right off the bat. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. And if you think it's a religion and you deal with it as a religion, you're going to go off the track. Go over to James chapter 1. Look at verses 26 and 27. James chapter 1. Starting with verse 26. Look at this. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, I want you to look at the description of religion that James is giving us. The word that's translated religion or religious is the word treskeia in the Greek. Treskeia. And what that word means is a ceremonial observance of religious activity. It's, in other words, it's what you do on the outside as part of your religious observance. That's what that word means. Something you do on the outside. Well, what are some of the religious things that people do? Coming to church, giving tithes and offerings, reading the Bible, praying, serving in a ministry. Those are all things that we do on the outside. But what James is saying is you can do all of that stuff and yet it not make any real difference in your life. Because if what you are doing just comes on the outside, I am doing what I'm doing because I'm supposed to, because I've been in the church all my life, because everybody expects me to do this, or because I think it's going to make me acceptable to God. If you are doing what you are doing for any of those reasons, all you are being is religious. And James says that kind of religion is useless. Religious activity does not impress God. All of the religious activity in the world will not impress God. James says you need to take a look at yourself. Look at verse 26 of James 1 once again. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Look at what James is saying. If you think you are a good religious person in church every Sunday, serving on the deacon board, singing in the choir, got a wonderful voice, you sing solos, hallelujah, praise God. If you think that makes you acceptable before God, here's the first test you need to apply. You need to look at how you talk. Let me just ask this question. How many of you know some church people that the way they talk, they could just as well be out in a bar someplace? I've shared with you about the person that I knew that I worked with when I was in Colorado at IBM. This man was a deacon in a church in Denver, loved to talk about being a deacon, except that he had the foulest mouth I've ever heard on anybody. And so he'd be talking about being a deacon one minute and swearing up a storm the next minute. Now think about somebody like that. What's going on? Do you know why that man was a deacon? Because he knew how to be religious. He knew how to come into church and say the right things and be involved in the right activities and do the right things. I am sure that if you saw that man in church on Sunday morning, you would think, oh, he's got to be holy. But you know what? The way he talked the rest of the week gave him away. See, James says, all of the religious stuff you do, if your mouth is not under control, your religion is useless. Go over, keep your finger in James chapter 1. But go over to Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 45. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Do you see what he's telling us? You put on a good show of being religious, praise God. But one of the real indicators of what's happening in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. If you are walking in here praising God on Sunday and cursing your neighbor on Monday, guess what's true? What comes out of your mouth on Monday is telling us what's really in your heart. Amen? So number one, James says you need to check yourself out based upon the way you talk. Go back over to James chapter 1. Look at verse 27. Look at how you talk. But then secondly, look at verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You not only need to look at how you talk, you need to look at how you walk. If you are so concerned about your own issues that you don't have time to minister to somebody else, you got a useless religion. That's what he's saying. He's saying good religion before God is that you visit the orphans, visit the sick, all of those things. What's that saying? Get your mind just off of yourself. How many of you got issues in your life right now? Let me just see. You know I already knew the answer to this question. Amen? All right. We all have issues. Now, how many of us would have to say that our issues are so serious that if we let ourselves, we could be thinking about our own stuff 24/7? Uh-huh. Amen. And guess what the devil wants you doing? Thinking about your stuff 24/7. Amen. Because guess what? When your mind is on your stuff, you don't have time for anybody else. Isn't that right? Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? You know, I can't worry about that. I can't worry about them. I got my own problems. Ever heard that? Ever said that? Amen. Uh-huh. Guess what? When we do that, we're playing right into the devil's hands. God intends for us to minister to one another. And guess what? He never said minister as soon as you get your own stuff together. Amen. Cause catch it. Can I just be honest with you for a moment here? If nobody could minister until they got their own stuff together, I would not be here right now. How many of you know I got some stuff too? Amen. Amen. And so what God is looking for is people who have issues that need to be dealt with in their life, but they are not so focused on their own issues that they can't look at somebody else and say, wait a minute, God has given me something I can share with this person. Let me take my mind off of my stuff for a moment and reach out to somebody else. And so he says, look, religion that God accepts is something that's going to cause you to go out and to reach out to somebody else. Look at the second part of that. He says, look at verse 27 again. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If you care so much about gratifying your own desires or about impressing other people so that they will think good things about you, that you are willing to compromise what you know is right, you just got religion. And it's useless religion. Amen? Now understand, all of those things that we talked about are important. Is it important for you to come to church? Amen. Is it important for you to read your Bible? Amen. Is it important for you to pray? Amen. Is it important for you to tithe? Amen. I want to hear that. Amen. Amen. All of those things are important. All of those things are part of what you do as a child of God. But understand, that's not the stuff that God is looking at. If all you're doing is all the outward things and Jesus Christ has not touched your heart, you just got useless religion. And religion will not bring you to the abundant life. Let me tell you something. Christianity is not about religion. Christianity is about a relationship. Go over to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. This is Jesus speaking to believers. Look at what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Do you see that? Jesus is saying, look, this is what I want to have with you. I'm standing at the door of your life, knocking right now, the door of your heart. And if you will open that door, then I'm going to come in. We want to sit down at the table. We're going to have good fellowship together. We're going to eat together. We're just going to hang out together. We're going to have a relationship. I wonder if you ever had the kind of friend where you could just walk into their house at any time. Amen. Any of you had that kind of friend? You just go over there. I mean, you had a relationship with that person. Isn't that right? Let me tell you what an even better friend is. How many of you ever had a friend that you could not only go into their house anytime, you could go in the refrigerator anytime? Amen. Now that's a good friend. Amen. But see, that's the kind of relationship that Jesus is talking about that he wants. He wants to come into our house, the house of our lives, and have that close, intimate relationship with us. He is not just somebody out there. He is not just God in heaven. He's saying, I want to be with you. I am in you. I want to have that relationship with you. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 or 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, let me just ask. How many of you pray as much as you know you ought to pray? How many of you ever feel guilty that you don't pray as much as you should pray? All right. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you this very gently. Okay. The reason you sometimes feel guilty about your prayer life is that you're treating prayer as religion and not as relationship. You see, you're looking at prayer as an obligation. I need to pray. Let's get this straight. How many of you know that God does not need your prayers? Amen. Your prayers are not going to make life any more happy for God. Amen. So it's not about God is saying, you got to pray to me. You know what it is? God is saying, I want a relationship with you. How can you have a relationship with somebody you don't ever talk with? Amen. How can you develop a relationship with somebody if you never are together and fellowshipping with that person? That's the reason for prayer. God is not saying it's a duty for you to pray. He's saying it's a privilege because then you come into his presence and have relationship with him. You can cry with him. Do you know you can come in before God and cry based on what's going on in your heart? You can laugh with him. You can ask him for help anytime. God is not out there someplace. If you're a Christian, do you know where God is right now? Right here. Living inside of you. How far do you have to go to get to God? He's right here. Amen? And he is wanting to be in relationship with you. That's God's purpose. That's God's desire. So prayer is not a duty. Prayer is a privilege of relationship. When the scripture says, pray without ceasing, it's not giving us a duty to perform. It's letting us know you can get to God anytime you need to. You can be with him on a constant basis. You don't have to walk through this life and just get an appointment with God every once in a while. He's available to you 24/7, praise God. So prayer is not a duty. Prayer is a privilege of relationship. I'm a pastor, and sometimes I get calls from people looking for help. And I was just thinking, you know, suppose I got a call from somebody, said, Pastor Franklin, I'm calling on my cell phone. I'm down here at Chambersburg, and my car just stopped, and I'm stranded on the side of the road, and I had a phone book in my car, and I was looking for ministers, and I saw your name, and I called you. I know it's 2 o'clock in the morning, but you're a minister, and I'm calling you for help. Now, what do you think I would do? I would say, well, give me your cell phone number. Tell me where you are. I will call the state police for you. You want me to call AAA? I'll call AAA for you. I would call the state police. I would put the phone down. I would get back in bed and go to sleep. Amen? Now, suppose Priscilla called me up 2 o'clock in the morning and said, honey, I was on my way home. The car broke down. I'm here outside Chambersburg. It's dark outside. I'm in my car. Please come and get me. How many of you think I'd be saying, oh, well, I'll call AAA and I'll go back to sleep? What's the difference? Relationship. Relationship. See, she's not somebody I just have some kind of obligation toward. No, I've got relationship with her. She's next to my heart. That means when she calls, guess what? I'm moving. That's who God is for you. That's what the scripture is saying. You are not just a religious adherent praying to God out there someplace. He's saying you got a relationship with me. Hallelujah. And because you got a relationship, you can call on me anytime. Pray without ceasing. You see, it's not a duty. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? That's a privilege of your relationship. Do you know that God is on your side? God is on your side. Whatever you get into, God is on your side. How many of you have messed up in life at some point? All right, amen. Do you know what? If you're a Christian, even when you mess up, God is on your side. God is on your side. If God be for you, what? Who can be against you? There is nobody that can be successful against you because God is on your side. Look at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's a privilege of relationship. God promises you that there is nothing that he will withhold for you. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I grew up in the projects, me and my mom. Now, we must have been poor because we were living in the projects. But guess what? I didn't know we were poor. I never worried one day about whether there was going to be food on the table or whether I was going to have clothes to wear or anything. You know why? Because I knew that whatever my mom had was mine. I knew she wasn't going to withhold anything from me. I knew that I could go any place in our house and anything I saw. Now, you got to be kids. Maybe I should take that back. You better not walk in your parents' bedroom and just take anything you see. Amen. But I knew that there was nothing she was withholding from me, and therefore I was not worried about anything. Understand, you've got a father who says, because of my relationship with you, because of your relationship with me, no good thing will I withhold. You don't have to worry about God supplying your need. Why? Because you have a relationship. I was once young. I now am older, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because of relationship, praise God. So here's my challenge to you today. You need to stop being religious. You need to stop being religious. Instead of looking at what you do for God as a duty, you need to see it as a privilege of relationship. Do you need to pray? Oh, yes, you need to pray. It's absolutely essential that you pray. You do need to be praying without ceasing. But listen to this. Don't pray to God up in heaven. Converse with God and share your heart, because he's right here for you. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. Look at verses 7 and 8. You need to change your attitude about prayer. Don't let prayer be a religious exercise for you any longer. Prayer is a privilege of relationship. You have the privilege of praying without ceasing, anytime, anywhere, and knowing that you have contact and fellowship with God. Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Look at this. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Do you understand that we do not pray in order to give God information that he did not have? When we pray, it's not the first time that God found out what we needed. Amen? No, prayer is not in order to get God to do stuff that he wouldn't otherwise do. You know what prayer is for? It's to develop relationship. It's fellowship with the Father. So you don't need the big words, oh, thou crown of all blessing, thou creator of all that is, I come before you humbly today. All you need to do is share your heart with him. If you're going through something, tell him about it. Tell him what's on your heart. You don't have to fix it up. You don't have to make it sound good. God already knows what's in your heart. He already knows what you're going through, and he already knows how you feel about it. Amen? So just share what's in your heart. Don't try to put fancy words on it. You don't have to come to church and kneel down at the altar, if we had an altar. You don't have to do any of that stuff. All you need to do is pray, what? Without ceasing. He's there. He's available to you 24/7. Just share your heart. Oh, Lord, you know I'm going through this right now. No. Let me give you to you. Can I make it as simple as I can think of how to make it? Lord, it's 6 o'clock. That alarm just went off. And Lord, you know I don't want to get out of bed this morning. Father, you know I don't even want to get up and go to work today. And I'm just sharing that with you, Lord. I'm asking you to give me the strength to get up. And not only to get up and go to work, but do it with a good attitude, with a joyful attitude. This is the day that the Lord has made. And because you made it this day and gave me this day, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Praise your name, Father. Thank you. Pray what? Without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You are home. You come home after work. And there's a dirty floor, and you get the carpet sweeper and you're going to sweep the floor. You know what you need to be doing? Turn that thing on. There you go. And all the time, instead of grumbling about, every time I have to sweep this thing and it just gets dirty again, if my work is never done. No, instead of that, what? Lord, hallelujah. I thank you for the privilege of sweeping this with a carpet sweeper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I can just plug this bad boy in and he picks up the dirt. Father, I thank you for that. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm doing this as unto you. You said that everything I do, I'm to do as unto the Lord and not unto men. Well, Father, I'm sweeping this floor for you this morning. Oh, Lord, look at that spot I just got up there. That was for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Pray without ceasing. Everything that you do needs to be done unto him and in his presence. Amen? Let's make it hard. You go to work, and there is Joe. Joe just gets on your nerves. Every time Joe opens his mouth, he's got something to say that's wrong, bad, insulting. Amen. And here comes Joe. So what are you doing? Well, I'm praying without ceasing. Hallelujah. Lord, here comes Joe. Oh, Lord, I know that you love Joe. I'm glad you love him, Lord, because it's hard for me. Praise God. But Lord, I know you love Joe. So Lord, help me to love Joe the way you love Joe right now. You know, and Joe comes up to you and Joe opens his mouth and the same old mess comes out. And you're saying, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, I'm not even going to take this on myself. You said that you would carry every burden. Well, Joe is a burden and I don't want to carry him. I just put him on you. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm not going to react to Joe. I'm asking you to give me your love for Joe. So let me react to Joe with the love of Christ and not with the way I feel about Joe. You take it, Father. See, all of that, you're lifting up a prayer just as you see your old Joe coming toward you. Why? Pray without ceasing. It's not a duty that you need to do. It's a privilege of relationship. He is there for you. He's ready to take that kind of burden off your shoulder. Any kind of burden off your shoulder. Amen? Pray without ceasing. When you leave here today and go get in your car and you drive out on the street, you need to be praying as you're driving home. Amen? Lord, I give you praise that I got a car. Amen? How many of you can identify with that? Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? Lord, I give you praise that you have given me the privilege of coming to church this morning. Now I can go home and have a meal. Lord, I just thank you for that. Oh, you're a good God. Praise your name. Lord, oh, that person up in front, he sure is going slow, Lord. I wish he'd get out of my way. But Lord, you love him. Hallelujah. So I give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. You know what? Sometimes I have to pray. Some person will be in front of me, and I had to learn to say, Lord, instead of, I wish that so-and-so would just get off the road, get out of my way. No, Lord, I thank you that that person is not going any faster than they know they can handle in that car. So I praise you for that. They're going slow. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. At least they're not going to run over anybody. Amen. See, pray without ceasing about everything. It's not a duty. It's a privilege of relationship. Christianity is not religion. It's not doing your duty toward God. It's not reading the Bible because you need to read the Bible. It's not serving in the church because you're supposed to serve in the church, but you do it because you love Him. Hallelujah. And He loves you. My challenge to you today is to never again be a religious person. You need to walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to have that relationship 24/7. You need to pray without ceasing, not as a duty, but because you are maintaining the flow of fellowship and relationship between you and Him on a continuing basis. That's what God wants for you. It's not religion. It's relationship.